following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, March 4th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 in the world. Welcome to our show. It's a sad day here at Normal Show Live. Unfortunately, we have to dedicate this show to the memory of a good friend who passed away last night, and that is the legendary grower Bobby B, a friend of the show, a friend to reformers everywhere, very beloved in this community, and we are definitely going to be missing him. Bobby B was well known by everyone here in the Portland area. He wasn't affiliated with any particular group. He said he loved them all. He wasn't a joiner. He wanted to be able to support all the organizations equally. There's a picture of Bobby from the 2007 Seattle Hemp Fest with the Portland Pinner, and we're going to miss Bobby B. We'll talk a little bit more about him in hour two, and anybody who'd like to call in and share their remembrances is welcome to do so. Let's go to someone a little more cheery at this, a little more cheery subject at this time, our good friend Cannabis Carrie in Grastoria, Oregon. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. I was really shocked to see that news. You know, I only got to meet Bobby a couple times, but every time I was around him, I was struck by how everybody else around him just loved Bobby B, you know, Bobby B.
Yeah,
so,
he was the man,
really
that's sad. For sure. I got the tweet last night from Rob Van Dam, the real RVD. They were very good friends, and in fact, Bobby was instrumental in getting Rob Van Dam at the Normal Conference a couple of years ago, 2009 Normal Conference. So, again, a great man, and he will be missed. Today's show is dedicated to the memory of Bobby B. Also coming up on today's show, we've got an Entertainment Friday for you. An exclusive interview with the Dirtball from Cottonmouth Kings, plus two brand new songs off of his new album, Nervous System. Let's Do It with Brad Daddy X and the song Cracka Now as well, coming up on today's Rockin' Friday. Also, we get to speak with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. I'm sure he'll have something to say about Charlie Sheen. We'll take a look at the nexus of Charlie Sheen and marijuana. Also, some other celebrity drug busts in the news, a new movie coming out this weekend, and a sports bus that we'll be telling you about in the hemp headlines here. And speaking of the hemp headlines, we do that right after the first break here with Cannabis Carrie. So what's in the news today?
Well, in the news today, we're going to cover an update on the story you brought us on Monday about those crooked Michigan cops. Mm. Also, a top national horticulturist is giving up on medical marijuana. And we're going to cover Gil's visit to Seattle today.
Mm, Gateway Gil, that's right. He's in Seattle today. And activists are out there right now protesting, I'm sure. If you've got anything to add from the protests out there in Seattle, give us a call here and we'll get you on the air live with an update. Thanks, folks. We're back with the hemp headlines right after this. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's Today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strump. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strump. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
In a case we brought you earlier this week, two Michigan police officers are facing charges after being caught on tape during a marijuana raid. Rudy Simpson was the target of that raid where officers stormed his home and acted very unprofessional as they ransacked his house. Simpson says that he felt abused as the police went through his home looking for marijuana, joking and eating food out of his refrigerator and cookies from his kitchen. Rudy Simpson has a sound studio in his basement, and unknown to the police officers, it was recording as police officers talk about all of the costly studio equipment that they could take. In the end, they only found a few grams of marijuana in Rudy Simpson's home. Seizure laws only apply if the goods they are taking may have been purchased with money earned from selling drugs. With only a few grams of marijuana, Simpson could hardly be construed to be a marijuana dealer. One of the cops can be heard saying on the tape, "At least a quarter of an ounce here. He's going to give us a chance to frickin' take all this stuff." Well, what they did end up taking was 3 pages worth of personal items from Simpson's home, including Rudy's 52-inch flat-screen TV, his DVD player, 2 different computers, a camera, and a whole bunch of DVD movies. Simpson said they took a gold ring and cash as well, but those items did not make it onto the seizure certificate. This case was from June of 2008 and was based on an anonymous tip and a single marijuana stem that police claimed they found in his garbage. Rudy Simpson was charged for the quarter of an ounce of marijuana that they found and half of a pain pill, even though he had a prescription for that pill. He had a marijuana charge from years earlier, so the prosecutor played hardball and told him that he could either take the charge for the half of a Lorset pill that he had, or they would hit him as a habitual offender and he would see prison time for the quarter ounce of marijuana they found. Believing at the time that he had no choice, Simpson ultimately pled guilty and did time in a halfway house. He finally decided to come forward with his case and the long-held-on-to recorded invasion when the officer in his house, Lieutenant Luke Davis, was being investigated on other corruption charges. Davis, who heads the Undercover Narcotics Unit and the head of the Omni Drug Task Force, is being charged, along with Officer Lieutenant Manuel Rapelli, of corruption charges. The indictment of the men alleges that they and others in the department sold drugs and confiscated goods for personal profit. This case highlights the problems with drug forfeiture laws. A civil liberties group called the Justice Institute grades forfeiture laws in the U.S. and has given Michigan a D-. In Michigan, law enforcement can seize your property with nothing more than probable cause, and they don't need any proof beyond a reasonable doubt, as they do in many of the other states.
Yeah, this is a very disturbing case. And, you know, to me, the audio of the cops talking about divvying up the guy's stuff, that's not as shocking to me because, I mean, we know that goes on. We know that's happening. It's just rare that we catch him on tape talking about it. Where I'm really shocked is the prosecutor here forcing the guy to plead on a charge for the half of a Lauraset tab that he had a prescription for. Why are we forcing guys to cop to things that we can prove they didn't commit, right? He didn't commit any crime with respect to the Lauraset tab. He had a valid prescription for it. Why do we want to force this guy to plead guilty to something that we have the proof that he didn't commit? It's just an abrogation of justice. I can't stand it when I hear things like this, and I hope they throw the book at these cops.
Gil Kerlikowske is visiting his former town of Seattle today and is stopping by the Seattle Times for a chat. The drug czar is responding to a piece that the Times published in their editorial section supporting marijuana legalization. Cannabis legalization advocates have lined up to protest Kerlikowske's appearance at the paper downtown and are rallying on the public sidewalk around the Times building. Advocates say that this visit is an attempt at intimidation by the drug czar in a state that is moving forward with legalization efforts through legislative means. Bruce Ramsey, the editorial writer who penned the Time to Legalize piece, wrote that marijuana should be legal and taxed in a February 18th article. He said that the push to repeal federal prohibition should come from the states, and it should begin with Washington State, saying now is the time for the next step. Gil Kerlikowske is a former Seattle police chief whose rise to the head of the Office of National Drug Control Policy was met with some hope that it would be a new dawn in the position, since Kerlikowske was the police chief of liberal Seattle, whose lowest law enforcement policy came into the books in 2003 when it was passed by a citizens' initiative with 75% of the vote. But Kerlikowske has said that chronic marijuana use is linked to mental illness and other health problems, and he argues that legalizing cannabis would not be the cure-all proponents make it out to be, because the black market would adapt to offer tax-free marijuana. He has also said, quote, the forces in pop culture that make light of the dangers of drug use, that there are no consequences for drug use, even promoting drug use as medicine, are profoundly disturbing our youth. On Thursday, the Seattle Times hosted a live online chat about marijuana legalization, including Ryan Blevin and Bruce Ramsey of the newspaper staff, along with legalization advocate Douglas Hyatt of Sensible Washington and legalization opponents Commander Pat Slack of the Sonomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force and substance rehabilitation therapist Stephen Bogan. Bogan said that legalization is wrong and sent a confusing and dangerous message to children. Commander Slack believes that it will be impossible to keep marijuana out of the hands of children if Washington State passes a legalized measure. Ramsey posted after the meeting, and so do we set the rules for adults based on what we would desire for children? The pro-cannabis supporters who rallied outside of the Seattle Times today held signs that said, quote, Gil, get with the times. We will be waiting to hear the response from the Seattle Times after Kerlikowske's visit today. Hopefully later this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to hear about this. And folks, if you're in the Seattle area and you want to check it out, the address is 1120 John Street in downtown Seattle. I imagine they probably still have the protests going on now. We hope to get a call sometime in an hour or two from someone who might be out there. But let me address a couple of these things first. Gateway Gil saying that that there would still be a black market in tax-free marijuana, that if we, you know, legalized it and regulated it and taxed it, that somebody would undercut the price by selling it without the tax. Okay, so instead of selling the illegal marijuana they're selling now that they can get $300 an ounce for, they'd be selling illegally untaxed marijuana then at what, $20 an ounce? $30 an ounce? How low are they going to have to cut it to be able to undercut what the tax would be in Washington State? Whatever it is, it's lower than what they're making on marijuana now. Nobody believes that if we legalize marijuana that suddenly there will never be any illicit marijuana traded or sold from one person to another. Of course there will be. There will always be people who break rules, no matter what those rules are. But by legalizing it, there will be fewer people breaking those rules, and the profit they make from breaking those rules will be greatly reduced. Now, to this thing about medical marijuana being a disservice to the youth, it sends the wrong message to the children. What message are we sending the kids about tobacco? I'm wondering, because whatever that message is, it's caused tobacco smoking among youth to be cut in half in this country. And as far as what is the message that we're sending to kids about alcohol, lifetime alcohol use has dropped from 90% for teenagers down to 75% for teenagers. Here we have two deadly, addictive, toxic drugs, and yet somehow we're able failed to get the right message about those drugs out to the children without locking up a single adult to do it. I don't understand why it would be so hard to get that message across with marijuana. And finally, this point about it would be impossible if we were legalized, it would be impossible for us to keep weed out of kids' hands. Guess what? It's impossible to keep weed out of kids' hands. It doesn't matter if it's legal or illegal. Right now, 84% of high school seniors say it's easy or fairly easy to get a hold of some weed. It is easier for a teenager in American high school here to get a hold of weed than it is for a scientist or a doctor who wants to study it for medical purposes. The question is, do you think it's going to be more impossible when we're carding those kids for IDs, when we're selling them in the Washington State liquor stores? Do you really think it's going to be easier than what we've got right now? The fact is, Gil, prohibition doesn't work. We don't have to defend legalization. You have to defend prohibition.
And the Associated Press is reporting that the University of Massachusetts horticulturist Lyle Cracker, who has been fighting for 9 years to get permission to study marijuana for research purposes, has decided to give up. The government currently has a monopoly on the production of marijuana for research purposes, a policy that is very unusual of the drugs considered Schedule I. Other drugs on the Schedule I list can be legally produced for research labs with licenses from the Drug Enforcement Administration. But for marijuana, the DEA has refused to allow any competition in marijuana cultivation, which is currently done exclusively at the University of Mississippi under contract with the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Lyle Cracker and other scientists say that the government's marijuana isn't potent or varied enough for research. In 2007, the DEA Administrative Law Judge Mary Ellen Bittner looked into Cracker's application for marijuana research and concluded that he should be allowed permission to grow and study a small sample of marijuana. But the DEA rejected their own judge's recommendation that the agency let Cracker, a top national horticulturist, and other qualified applicants grow marijuana for research purposes. They denied Cracker's application at the end of the Bush administration, and he was hopeful for the incoming Obama administration. Barack Obama promised to call off the DEA's medical marijuana raids and said that doctors should be allowed to prescribe marijuana if the research confirms it as safe and effective. But with the appointment of Michelle Leonhardt, the actual deputy who denied Cracker's application, he has lost all hope. But that research may never come, so Lyle Cracker is abandoning his 10-year plans for cannabis plant research and will lend his talents to other plants that might not be as difficult to study.
It's such a shame. Professor Cracker here is like 70 years old, so I can't blame the guy for, you know, putting, you know, this decade or longer into trying to just study cannabis. I mean, the guy's not a pot smoker. He's never smoked pot in his life. He's as far away from counterculture as you could possibly imagine. The epitome of the white lab coat, serious researcher here. And like I mentioned in the previous story, it's easier for a high school kid to get high quality marijuana for study than it is for Professor Lyle Cracker at UMass Amherst. I mean, come on. The guy's got a PhD. He's seriously wanting to study this. But the federal government keeps coming back and saying, well, you know, we grow some marijuana at the University of Mississippi, and we can give you that for studies. The problem is that marijuana is the worst low-grade swag grown in the United States. You, with your closet grow better marijuana than Dr. El Soli does out there at the University of Mississippi. And that's by design. They don't want to see high-quality marijuana grown there. They don't want to see anything grown there that might possibly lead to opening up more scientific inquiry and more scientific proof and justification for the medicinal uses of whole plant cannabis. That's the way the system is designed. I've actually seen this marijuana. Irv Rosenfeld, one of the four remaining medical marijuana patients in the investigative new drug program, that's where he gets his marijuana from. The University of Mississippi puts about 9 ounces of pre-rolled joints in a tin, 300 joints that they send him in those big old tins. He picks them up from his pharmacy in Florida, and I've taken a look at it, man. It's like, not only is it swaggy weed, it's mass harvested. I mean, they just chop down the whole plant, the stalk, the leaves. If there's seeds in there, they don't give a damn. They take the whole thing, they run it through grinders, they grind the whole thing up, stems and all, and that's what you get. Consistently, when this has been tested, it comes out around 4-5% THC at best. And of course, with all the stems and everything else in there, more contamination when the person's trying to use it. Irv has told me that he can be smoking those joints back to back to back like a chain smoker and barely get any sort of relief that he needs for his serious exostosis, I think it is, congenital multiple cartilaginous exostosis. That's the name of it. It's a disease where he has spurs that grow on his bones, on his joints. Makes it incredibly, incredibly painful for him. And yet, for the past 3 decades or longer, he has been using medical marijuana supplied by the federal government that continues to tell you that there's no medical efficacy in cannabis. That's the way they like it. That's the way National Institutes on Drug Abuse want to keep it. See no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil when it comes to cannabis. Oh, they got plenty of money if you want to study it and show how bad it is. But if you're like Professor Lyle Craker and would like to show some of the medical efficacy of cannabis, you can be sure you're going to be denied. And I forgot to mention, Ganja John is not with us today, though I'm pretty sure you figured that out. He's got a prior engagement for the day, but he'll be back on Monday. Stay tuned. The Dirt Ball is next.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it. And didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint case? Sure would be hot cooler if you did. Lie to know how it is. Oh, lie to know how it is. Just lie to know how it is.
USVI normal go. Broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to. Broke down barrier. Boost the economy and. Broke down barrier. It's helping other states. Broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to. Broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice. Broke down barrier. We gonna change the law. Broke down barrier. We got to educate. Broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know. Bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com.
If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, folks, we got a really big Friday treat for you here. We are joined by the Dirtball from just down the road in beautiful Bend, Oregon, where it's currently freezing. How you doing, Dirtball?
I'm just good, Russ. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk. Ganja John's joining us here on the interview as well.
What's up, Dirtball?
Oh, nice. Ganja John, what's up?
Hey, man, we are so excited to be talking to you because we play your music all the time. We go back to Reptilian. We go back to Crick County Killers, all those great albums. You got another new album coming out. We showed the video preview that's up on YouTube just last week. Tell us about your new album.
Yeah, I got a new record. It's my fourth one on Suburban Noise, and it's called Nervous System. And it's definitely my version of a classic West Coast rap record, really. I focused just a lot on getting a lot of different styles of, you know, it's kind of like my version of a Dre Chronic album, you know, from the Dirtball. So that's what I focused on this. We've got some guests, just your Big B, Daddy X, Johnny Richter, and then Blazy Dead Homie from Psychopathics Camp. And yeah, just stoked that I've worked really hard on it. Someone reminded me on another interview the other day that it's been 3 years old since your last record 3 years ago. I'm like, wow. But you know, I've been working with Cottonmouth, so we've been doing a few different records and X Pistols, so I've been super busy.
Yeah, you have been busy, just touring all over the place, and we got a chance to listen to a pre-release version of the album, and Ganja John was telling me that it's just diverse as hell.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. It goes, you know, it kind of goes all over the place, but in a good way. It's like, you know, a dance song almost, a party song, and then into some really hardcore rap, which I absolutely love.
Killer, good. That's what I was trying to accomplish. You know, it's like most of my records are all different, and I like to keep it that way. So when you're at the end of the day, you know, the end of your down the line, when you're at the end, wherever that is, you can look back on your catalog and have it be diverse. You know, so thank you. I'm glad that's kind of the appeal I wanted to have on the record, on Nervous System. So that's good. That's good. Hope.
Excellent. Right on. And you know, one of the things I love about listening to you is your staccato flow. You've got this great, you do these great drag triplet flows and really quick beats and all. And of course, people that would only look skin deep might think of Eminem. But I'm thinking, you know, who are some of your influences in that style of rap? I'm thinking guys like Tech N9ne and other cats.
Yeah, you know what originally happened is I got this style. I started rapping, you know, I started rapping a long time ago just on my own, but with drums. I've been a drummer my whole life, and I had a band in Salt Lake City where I rapped for about 6 years and drummed at the same time, kind of front band to this. And so the rapping and drumming is really where I developed the type of patterns. And so I came into it just doing that, into Subnoise, kind of doing that naturally with like my first song, Bulldog, and I think was one of the first ones. And I didn't really realize how, and I listened to Tech N9ne a little bit and Twista a little bit, but it was moreover, it just happened with me. And it's from drumming. Once I jumped off the kit, that's what I got. That's like the product that came out. So for me, and then I went on tour with Tech N9ne about 3 or 4 times, got to stand back, you know, for a few hundred shows and watch that dude work his magic. And and from then on, it's just become, you know, I don't really have to focus or try not to sound cocky in any way because of the drumming patterns that just come flying out of my mouth. Sometimes I have to control it a little bit because it gets a little crazy.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, my cousin Kenny is a drummer, and we were listening to some of your tracks, and he said, dude, that guy's throwing down paradiddles and, like, single-stroke rolls in a rap. Yeah. I mean, that's the coolest damn thing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, because I'll do things, too, that are like what you would normally do producing and cutting, you know, like doing like things like Russ, you know, like those things in the recording. So people think, man, that thing is like chopped up and, you know, like put together. It's so funny, dude. But that's another thing with Nervous System is I try to also, since I became that guy that kind of is one of the fast rappers for Subnoise, I did a lot of different styles, like Ganja John was just saying, that on the record that it's very diverse, and so I wanted to showcase that I can, you know, not only am I a speedy rapper, you also have these things from me, you know.
So, you know, we've been, I personally went to Cottonmouth Kings here in Portland when you guys played with ICP. I went to the Wonder Ballroom show. Do we have a Dirtball solo tour to look forward to?
You know, this is a crazy, okay, here's what's going on. I was going to be out. We're revamping and doing a lot of work on CottonmouthKings.com right now, and we're releasing a new EP on 420. So within this next month and a half, we're going to begin touring again in April. There's really no time for me to go out on a full run right now. So I'm thinking here's what I'm going to do is do a shorter run up here in April around Northwest areas and some West Coast states that are crucial for me. So that's what I'm setting up right now. And it's crazy because for the first time in my career, I'm actually so busy with just different projects, and I've got not over my head, but there's just a lot going on, and I'm trying to appease each area, you know. So yeah, you'll see me up there more over doing a solo dirt ball rather than coming on a different tour, you know.
Right on.
Can you tell us a little bit about the X Pistols album too with Daddy X?
Yeah, as you know, D-Lo released Made for Kings, and Johnny Richter released Laughing, the solo albums from the other members of Cottonmouth, and then X Pistols was Daddy X's, what he wanted to do for his solo release, as mine is Nervous System, you know, kind of did them in Cottonmouth Kings Presents type packaging and tears. And so X Pistols, X had me come and would want me to guest on this punk record that him and the Tatter Brothers from a group called DI put together, some like 25 awesome, just firing tracks. Punk rock, you know, some of it like sounds kind of like early Suicidal Tendencies, and I mean, it's really sick stuff. And I'd never really rapped on the punk anything. I was working on Long Live the Kings down there at X's studio, and he said, get on this song. It's like, got on this fast punk song called Peeing the Punk, and I started just firing fast raps, kind of like the, you know, different patterns over it. And he was like, dude, we got to do this whole record. So I came back, I flew back up here, came back down for another about 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, and finished that record, and we just got in the studio and just kept going, and he basically showed me the way, because I, you know, punk music's different writing techniques, different formats, and so he kind of guided me along where he thought I should be doing these different things, and all in all, we just produced a sick little record called Shoot to Kill.
Yeah, it sounds great. Hey, we're speaking with the Dirtball from Cottonmouth King, Subnoise Records, and his new album, Nervous System, is out now. You want to get a hold of this. Dirtball, one of the things I like also about your music, you know, and I like about all hip-hop artists, is they infuse a lot of their neighborhoods, their background, the life that they lead into their music. And of course, you, being from Oregon, being from Bend, I've kind of made a joke with John that you're the Ted Nugent of rap, because you're into hunting and outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
What are you doing aside from recording? I know you're awfully busy, but what you up to lately?
Dude, you're so great. I love it. That's exactly how I feel. Sometimes I feel the same way. I'm like, oh man, I am the 10 news. But what am I doing right now? Right now, well, the snow kind of halted my scene. You know, I'm a big mushroom hunter, so I'm getting prepared for those seasons coming in April. And I'm also a big rock hound. That's one thing that's on my mind right now. Like, I'm purchasing this rock tumbler and this polisher, because where I live out here, out east, it's one of Crook County's actually one of the biggest like ag and gemstone counties in the world, Crook County, Oregon. And so I do hunt. I don't like to talk about it a lot because it's not hunting relics, you know, Indian artifacts, arrowhead, surface picker, they call me. I'm giving myself up to the feds.
No,
it's
no.
All right. It's not as if
you've ever said anything about doing stuff that was federally illegal before. I mean, come on, mushrooms and weed.
I'm burning herb, I'm pilfering mushrooms, I'm taking Indian relics. No. I do that, but, you know, I've been getting into rock hounding and, like, kind of, there's just so many agates out here and different, like, gemstones. Anyway, that's one side of it. You know, I do a lot of wood cutting and a lot of woodwork. So I'm always, right now, it's kind of the in-between right before everything jumps off. You know, for me, it's usually fall, spring seasons, and taking advantage of snowboarding a little bit.
Right on. Hey, want to know also, what's your latest favorite strain that you've been toking on?
Gosh, you know, I just got this stuff, Great White. I don't know if you heard of that strain, but from the frontier, that it's so crazy how many great grow areas there are now. And then it's saturated. Like, our whole deal here is almost, it's just like down here in Bend, well, market's done, here we go. You know, like, it's everywhere. So, yeah, the Great White, some Jack, I've been blazing on some Jack, and what else do I got out here? Green crack, got some purple crack. I've got a super assortment of outdoor stuff, but this great white that I got is amazing.
Mm. You mentioned the Cottonmouth Kings EP dropping on 420. Where will you guys be on 420?
We will be in, I think the 420 show is in Phoenix. There's a 420, San Diego. So it goes Pozo, California on the 17th. The 19th is in Pomona, California. The 20th is in San Diego. And then the 23rd is in Las Vegas at this Sunday Funday event with like E40 and Big B's on the bill. So we're doing four 420 shows, celebration shows, called the Ganja Days Celebration. And we're coming out with a new 6-song EP and a video called My Garden, the song My Garden. Sunrise Sessions is what the EP is for Cottonmouth. So that's all on 420. And we're trying to get everybody directed to CottonmouthKings.com that day because there's just going to be a lot releasing, everything releasing on the website. So.
Yeah. Yeah, new website coming up, new EP from Cottonmouth Kings. The new Dirtball album, Nervous System, is out now. And one last thing here before we let you go. I had mentioned how much I love that you infuse your personal background and your history into your music. And in your last album, one of my favorite songs was Murashukagorden, and I'm probably mispronouncing that.
Yeah, nice. No, that's actually right. That was real closer to most people at all. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. And of course, it's the story of you working in Sweden in a crematorium. And people have asked me before, is that true? Did he really work there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I lived in Sweden for 2 years. I originally went over for, I've been an NCAA Nordic ski racer, so that was like a huge part of my background. I went over to Sweden to do that, and then I met a girl, came home after the first year of ski racing over there, got a work permit, which was hard to get. I had to be fluent in Swedish, so luckily I was from that first year. Went back over to go live with her, and her parents didn't speak any English, and work at this cemetery where no one spoke any English. It was like a year of my life where I literally spoke no English unless I was talking to my folks at home or something. And so on the grounds, trying to make a long story short, on the cemetery grounds, one of the dudes that ran, the main dude that ran the crematorium, was leaving for summer leave, and the pay was like 4 times as much. So I took the job and helped these other two dudes burn bodies in the crematorium for like 6 weeks, almost 7 weeks. And so that's what that is about. And yes, I have burned over 40 bodies, you know.
Wow.
It's been really integral. And it wasn't as weird as it is now since I made the video. And now when I explain it, it all just seemed normal at the time. It was even weirder up top working at the cemetery, like straightening headstones and stuff was even a little creepier to me than actually burying the bodies. But
wow.
It sounds strange, but yeah. So that Mura Shirko Gordon is Mura, which is the town I lived in. Shirko is church, and Gordon is garden. So Mura Church Garden, which is church garden and cemetery.
Wow, yeah. Interesting word for cemetery. Wow. So on the incredibly infinitesimal chance that we have a listener out there that understands Swedish, would you give him a hi, hello, and let's legalize in Swedish?
Ooh, tjena, jag heter David, PKA the Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
Right.
So there you go.
Excellent. Thank you so much, man. The Dirtball from Bend, Oregon. Remember, the Cottonmouth Kings, the new album is Nervous System. It's out now. We're going to play a track from it right now. Dirtball, thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Yeah, we get to interview all kinds of people, Dirtball. And I'll tell you, man, this has been an absolute thrill. I usually don't fanboy out, but thank you so much for doing this interview.
Thank you, dude. No, I appreciate you guys sending all the music and all the support. So Cottonmouth Kings and Dirtball. And so thank you guys very much.
Here we go, some new music from the Dirtball. This is Let's Do It with Brad Daddy X. Fucking ain't the West Coast where I stay. Let's do it. Take matters into your own hands. Make your own brands, make your own business plans. Let's do it. Let's talk about an ounce a day. Fucking ain't the West Coast where I lay. It's West Coast and us folks. Yeah, we love to talk about it. Heavy trees, heavy weed smoke. Both of them come about it. Sticking to our biz. Sunshine, keep it crowded. Illegal business controls the mass of it. It's dirty paper routed. You gotta get yours and there be plenty for the taking. Only in America can you be money making. At the same time, harvesting the cannabis, supplying for the homies in your area, no matter what the matter is. The shop's open, come on in and get a sample of us. Taste the finer things in life and execute the plan. Get
get the money, get the cash, grow the grass, use my words as a guideline, zip it right past the move makers, big shots, back corner ballers, show them how the kid went from band to a rap brawler, and make them all recognize that the skills pay the bills, and that ain't no bullshit. That is into your own hands, make your own brands, make your own business plans, let's do it, let's talk about it now someday, fucking A, the West Coast where I stay, let's do it, take matters into your own hands, make your own brands, make your own business plans, let's do it, let's talk about it now someday, fucking A, the West Coast where I lay, yeah. He who hustle hard can own the whole boulevard. If the drive is hot enough, a man can multiply 25 times what they are. Molehill to a mountain, water leak to a fountain, I'ma leave a scar. I believe in checking doubters, making every move count as well as every minute. Best not get up in my way, cause you will hear my sleigh racing down the main line, pacing down the game time. Take it all away, where I was born, I was raised. Since then I've been blazed, I was taught to take matters on straight to the face. Keep the dream alive, let it all fall into place. They can shuffle on you, but you'll always find the ace. Be the same, you and me, we was born to live freely. Stay super high, if you need some, see me. Got a bag full of everything, tell all the friends that D-Ball got the goods and a piece of advice. It goes, take matters into your own hands, make your own grants, make your own business plans. Let's do it, let's talk about it now someday. Fucking A, the West Coast where I stay. Let's do it, take matters into your own hands, make your own grants, make your own business plans. Let's do it, let's talk about it now someday. Fucking A, the West Coast where I stay.
Let's do it. What's up, dirt? What's cracking there, homie? They call me Daddy Ash, but you already know me. The rip-hop originator, sub-noise pioneer. West Coast pimp, kicking mad flavor in your ear.
Let's do it.
Far and near, north and south. I don't speak on reputation, cause it speaks for itself. Most want a renegade hustler running the streets. Underground empire, slanging dope-ass beats.
Let's
do it. We never make it, cause we loadies. A bunch of stone white rappers smoking on trees. Collecting all the money that you owe me, and I know you don't wanna see my homies. They all got rap sheets, never even touch a mic. Break you off something proper, put your head in a vice. Take advice from me, the Godfather MC. I got to handle my biz like a real OG.
Let's do it. Take matters into your own hands. Make your own grants, make your own business plans. Let's do it. Let's talk about it now today. Fucking A, the West Coast where I stay.
Let's do it.
Take matters into your own hands. Make your own brands, make your own business plans. Let's do it. Let's talk about it now today. Fucking A, the West Coast where I lay. Yeah. Take matters into your own hands. Make your own brands, make your own business plans. Let's do it. Let's talk about it now today. Fucking A, the West Coast where I stay.
Let's do it.
Take matters into your own hands. Make your own brands, make your own business plans. Let's do it. Let's talk about it now today.
That's the Dirt Ball from the new album, Nervous System, Let's Do It, featuring Brad Daddy X. Let's keep it rolling with a double shot of new Dirt Ball music from Nervous System. We're loving the flow. This next tune's called Cracka Now. Enjoy it.
Welcome to the party.
Yeah. Who's the motherfucking cracker now?
You think about it, life ain't like a box and anything is fucked up. Whoever said it wasn't me, you get sucked up. Cause they was lying to you, face fucking to the fullest.
Yeah.
Firing like a blank bullet, not afraid to pull it. The card you dealt, felt like a fat belt. Right upside the head, back into reality. I help myself,
come on.
Nobody else can tell me how I'm gonna finish. Diminish all the doubters, pledge allegiance to the powers.
Yeah.
Like
I'm out of sight, out of mind, out of line, out of anything a motherfucker bring my way. I'm out of time, out of space, out of fear, out of any bit of happiness. Hear me when I say, no longer mild mannered, panic, rabbit, organic, titanic of a force. Please come play. My playground full of fat sound, never back down. Look at Cracker now, brand new day. Clench my fists and slit my wrists. No telling what's gonna happen when the class dismissed. Running hot, boiling over in the darkest mist. The cross is crisp and everyone is leaving me. Deceiving me, relieving me of any pressure that I've built up. Dealing with the strains of everyday game. My tiger won't tame, he's on a constant growl. Looking for dinner in the jungle on a constant prowl. Could you not want this howl? Get out the way, my plow.
coming quicker than a freight train. Split your brow. What the fuck you want now? Pop a cub to south. Pack a slug to pow. My body's everywhere. Every underground trunk. Heavy weighing down funk. Simply spraying my palm. Trying to level these boards. Enable these hordes of people to cause panic. And riot in the streets. For the record, let me tell you how I feel. Out of sight, out of mind, out of line, out of anything a motherfucker bring my way. I'm out of time, out of space, out of fear, out of any bit of happiness. Hear me when I say, no longer mild, metatonic, rabbit, organic, titanic of a force. Please come play. My playground full of fat sound. Never back down, looking cracker now. Brand new day. Hear me out one more time, one more rhyme, one more chance. My ability to dance with the devil. Are there any questions? Are there any naysayers in the crowd that be questioning my level? And if so, raise your hand so the rest of my followers can get a visual and get started. Remove you from the system and reiterate what the hooks say. Hear me loud right now. Let's go. Out of sight, out of mind, out of line, out of anything a motherfucker bring my way. I'm out of time, out of space, out of fear, out of any bit of happiness. Hear me when I say, no longer mild, metatonic, rabbit, organic. Force, please come play. My playground full of fat sound. Never back down. Looking for a new day.
Check out the daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Legalize it. Don't criticize.
This is Piotr Phenomenal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write NORMAL. N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. 2006.
Help NORMAL to help protect your rights.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news.
All right, welcome back, everyone, and we're talking with Steve Bloom in New York City. How you doing, Steve?
I'm great. How are you, Russ?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, from a media perspective, this week's been a hell of a week between the Oscars and Charlie Sheen. I'm sure you got plenty for us, so let's get right into it.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, it's been epic.
Yeah, winning.
You know, I mean, it's similar to, you know, the friends you get around, Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan. It even reminds me of when Robert Downey was sort of bottoming out. The difference here is that Charlie's really not getting arrested for this stuff. He's just basically, you know, sticking up for his rights to party, it seems, you know, like, I'm going to do it this way, you know, kind of Hef style with a lot of babes, and who's going to stop me? You know, if you can't catch me, you know, then, you know, what's the problem? You know, so I feel like, you know, Charlie's, you know, sticking up in some weird way for, you know, for what we believe in too, but he's just doing it with other drugs. But he just, you know, it's kind of like Arthur Thompson did with other drugs too, and he's, you know, a great hero of the marijuana movement and normal, so, you know, why not Charlie?
Yeah, you know, I kind of think that part of why this is getting so popular is because every time we ever have a story about a celebrity and drugs, we always get the same parade of, I'm sorry, I'm going to rehab, I was a bad boy, and he's rebelling against that. I think that's part of it.
I think so. And so you kind of see, you know, who's the line. He said, like, Sean Penn had contacted him, you know, Mel Gibson, you know, who are the people who are, like, who are, you know, on his side? Colin Farrell. And, you know, hey, you know, there's, you know, Bill Maher, you know, no surprise, you know, Bill Maher comes to his aid. He says, I know a totally different side of the Charlie. I believe there's something going on with his brain chemistry right now. But look, I've done drugs myself. I haven't done the drugs in a while, but I know drugs. And I've always been a social libertarian. The most private place is your mind, and if he wants to do this, this is why this is a free country, or a free country, is that you can do that. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of long way of saying it, you know, it's like his choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And who's he harming? He's got the kids and stuff like that, but, you know, who knows how, you know, the kids seemed to be pretty happy the other day with that video that they did with the goddesses.
Yeah.
And by the way, one of the goddesses is Natalie Kenley, who's been on the cover of the Cali Chronicles magazine, the one that's run by Jeff Peterson, who's the 420 comic. That kind of came up recently. He gave that one to TMZ, and, you know, we've been running with it since as well. But I've been fascinated with that end of the story too, you know, Natty, as she's called on the cover of the magazine several times.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting that there's a cannabis community tie-in here. But, of course, Charlie wasn't the only celebrity in the news with respect to drugs and drug busts. You've got the list of the latest celeb drug busts for us?
Well, I mean, we had, you know, this week, you know, kind of the biggest profile one was Theo Richards, Keith Richards' daughter. She's 25 years old. She was caught in New York tagging a building, meaning graffiti, just a small tag that said T Heart A, and she did it in, like, a red, you know, marker, but she did it on the outside of the wall of a convent in Soho in New York, of all the places. You know, very, very daring. And she got caught. So the police stopped her, and they did a little search, and they found weed and Vicodin, which apparently she might have purchased, you know, from somebody, as opposed to getting it, you know, properly, you know, through a prescription. So she's in a little bit of hot water. You know, she got out real fast, but, you know, she was in the news. The other celebrity bust had been Juvenile. The rapper was arrested down in Louisiana again, third time in the last 3 years. He keeps getting picked up for marijuana busts. Nothing super major, but just arrested again. And also Tommy Morrison, the boxer who was heavyweight champion and beat George Foreman back in the 90s, he got picked up again for a marijuana bust in Kansas for the second time in the last sort of year and a half or so. So those are the ones that are the most notable.
Mm. And Toker TV fans, of course, will remember the show, That 70s Show, featured Tommy Chong. And, of course, the lead actor on that was Topher Grace. He's got a new movie coming out. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Stoner Movie Alert. I really think it's the first Stoner movie of the season. You know, Stoner comedy with Topher Grace, Anna Faris, Dan Fogler as a trio who go to a party that rages all night long. And Topher's character and Anna, they're twins. Anna's involved with a character played by Chris Pratt, who I love. He's on Parks and Recreation. And he's a little bit of a doofus kind of jockey guy who kind of runs like the party, like a frat house type party. And, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff is going on because basically Topher's trying to make it with his old high school flame was at the party. He just never had the nerve to, you know, to ask her out or whatever. All through high school, he always stared at her. And so finally, he's going to do it now. You know, he's out of school. He's sort of not really doing much. He went to MIT, yet he's underachieving, working at a video store. Movie's set in 1988. So the music is all 80s, which is kind of cool. A lot of 80s hairdos and clothes and stuff like that. It's not exactly Hot Tub Time Machine and sort of like its nuttiness. It's more of a rom-com with some crazy sort of stoner comedy stuff built in, mostly thanks to Dan Fogler's character, who finds, they steal a car,
he works at an auto dealer. He gets fired. He goes and takes Spidey, steals a car, and they're going to use that car to sort of impress at the party, a convertible. And he opens up the glove compartment. There's a huge bag of Coke in there. So there's a lot of Coke jokes throughout the movie. Now, I know we're not biggest fans of Coke, but it's still kind of a funny prop, almost like, you know, going back to the days of Cheech and Chong with Coke in their movies, too. It's a very funny prop in the movie. It doesn't really have a big impact so much on the behavior. It's just more like a prop. But it does, you know, add to the stoner element of the movie. And Anna Faris being in any movie is always fine with me. You know, she's sort of very, you know, everybody loves her from Smiley Face and her, you know, roles in Scary Movie. And so, you know, she always lends a lot of just fun, you know, just liveliness to a movie. And it's just an offbeat movie. It's the time of the year for sort of offbeat comedies, whether it be, you know, more mainstream or stuff that's kind of like second-tier independent kind of stuff like this movie, a little more independent, not the biggest stars, but just good enough. You know, just like you said, you know, Eric from the 70s shows and, you know, and the girl from Smiley Face, you know, and the guy from Parks and Recreation, you know, you put that Dan Fogler, who is in the current issue of High Times, talking about, you know, marijuana, and he was at the Stony Awards, and so it's kind of a good teaming of everybody, and done by a director who was fairly new to me. He did the movie We're All There, Pete Tong, or something like, I forget the name. It's kind of an offbeat music movie a few years ago. So it's kind of an interesting collaboration. I like it. I recommend it.
All right. Let's turn to the sports pages now. Of course, March Madness is coming up, the NCAA basketball tournament of 64 for college basketball. And just this morning, I saw a news blurb come up on Klay Thompson, the Pac-10's leading scorer, a member of the Washington State Cougars, getting busted just outside of his, near his campus there. Do you have any other sports stories or sports bust for us in addition to Klay?
Well, obviously the Tommy Morrison one that I talked about, and that was, you know, that really was the most recent one. On the sports side, I don't follow the college busts as much because there's kind of a lot of them, to be honest. And,
yeah.
You know, I guess you kind of have to have a bit of a specialist to sort of like stick with all of that. And there's so many of them. So I just tend to generally focus on the celebrity. Terry Glenn was busted a while back, you know, former NFL guy. And we had the Lawrence Maroney bust as well earlier this year. I mean, as far as celebrity busts, there have been, they're sort of far-passing last year. Last year, there were about 40, 45. This year, there are already 12 through 2 months of the year. So if it adds up, you'd have 60, 70 celebrity busts in the year. So, you know, for some weird reason, you know, that number keeps climbing.
Yeah. And you've got your book out now, the Reefer Movie Madness, the Stoner Film, Ultimate Stoner Film Guide. How's the book doing? And do you have any promotional events you have coming up?
Hey, you know, I wish I did. If anybody wants to have me at their college or any place to, you know, talk about stoner movies, I can do that. But right now, no, you know, the book's just out there. It's out at Amazon and bookstores, Urban Outfitters and Spencer's, and, you know, appreciate anybody who's already bought it. And, you know, if you're a big movie fan and a stoner at the same time, it's kind of a perfect, you know, book to have. So it's a good combination for, you know, both those interests. And so, you know, and it's very in-depth. There's over 600 movies in the book. It covers everything from, you know, the stoner comedy to the drama to documentaries to music movies. We have lots of sidebars with celebrities talking about their favorite movies. And so we, you know, put a lot into it. It's myself and Shirley Halperin. You know, we did Pop Culture, the Easy Guide to Stoner Language and Life. So that was our second project. So I'm very proud of it. Thank you for everybody who gets it.
Oh, yeah. Everybody I've talked to who's gotten a copy of the book loves it. It's well dog-eared and flipped through for people that are looking
for it. It'll get you renting things at Netflix you never thought you'd be renting. Oh, well, let me try this. One.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, 420's coming up as well. Are you going to be with us in Denver this year, and what plans
I'm
do you have?
I'm very excited about the activities coming in Denver for Normal at the conference. Hopefully I'll be part of a panel as usual, and I'm also, you know, hoping to put together something in the benefit area for music. I've been working with Alan St. Pierre and Warren Edson to try and pull something together, and we've been talking to the folks at Madison House and Red Light Management, seeing which band might want to do something. So right now I don't have anything to announce, but we're getting close, and we're, you know, kind of excited. The other news out of Denver worth announcing was the Teapot Party endorsement of Doug
right.
Linkhart. That's our third endorsement. When I say our, you know, I work with Willie Nelson and Chris Goldstein, a few other folks, a lot of folks out there, you know, in the Facebook world, you know, all the different satellite Teapot parties all around the country who pitch in. But you know, we've been, you know, trying to, you know, sort of give direction to what the Teapot Party is really about, and Willie's really made it clear that it's about getting people elected or not elected. And, you know, so we're sort of zeroing in on candidates, and our first candidate was Gaylord Galbraith, who's running for Kentucky governor, and he's run numerous times, and Gaylord and Willie have worked together on that in the past, so that was a no-brainer. We have Chris Bailey, who's running for city council in Austin on a pro-marijuana, you know, platform, and we now have, you know, Doug Leinhart, who's sort of probably the most high-profile of the three candidates so far, you know, running for mayor of Denver, which is a seat that's open because Hickenlooper, the former mayor, is now the governor, and there's an election on May 3rd, and, you know, maybe we can sneak in our stoner candidate. Now, what's good about Hickenlooper is that he's just pro-medical marijuana, he's pro-medical marijuana business, and he's on the side of medical marijuana community, and that's really huge in you know, in Denver. So we're really behind him, so we're hoping that we can throw some, you know, voter power behind, you know, stoner voter power behind Doug Linkhart, and, you know, if people want to, you know, go and support him in other ways financially, that's great, but the main thing is, you know, we want to spread the word about him right now, get people, you know, excited about him.
Yeah, absolutely. There, I encourage everyone to check out the Teapot Party out there on Facebook, and Steve Bloom at CelebStoner.com will have all the information for you. Steve, thanks for your work with Teapot Party and joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
All right, folks, that's it. We'll be back for Toker Talk Radio.
This
stick around.
Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
For Cannabis Carry and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with more podcasts, news, and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Now you see, you manage, you grow it, you try it, you ruin it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.